Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio. Special Operations Military News and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Hey, what's going on? It is Rad, and I am hosting another episode of Soft Rep Radio, so I must be something right. That's right. We are number one rated right now, so we are really stoked to have this podcast. I'm really stoked for my fans and for you followers out there that go to the merch shop and you put your hard-earned money through the internet and you send it to us and hope that we send you something back. So keep doing that, all right? We really appreciate you hitting the merch shop. And then also, our book club has been just going off the charts. Softrep.com/book-club. Go check out /book-club at softrep.com and just get into the know with our library of books that you may want to read. Go read a book. All right. Now, with that said about books, I have a book. It's called Life and Death at Abbey Gate, written by Staff Sergeant Michael Cook. And I believe there's another person, Michael, who is joining me today, is Michael, who wrote that book with you. What's their name?
Robert Conlin was my co-author, a great author, a great dude. So it was a privilege to write with him.
Welcome to Soft Rep Radio, Michael.
Hey, man, thanks so much. I've been looking forward to this one for a while, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks to Daniel for hooking it up. He's like, hey, you want Michael? And I was like, we want Michael on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, we don't know the score, all right? We don't know anything yet. It's about noon Mountain Standard Time when I'm recording this. This will go up in about a week. So let's see. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to do, say, 23-7.
Beautiful. So I'm a Michigan guy. I don't really care what the score is, but I'm daydreaming that Jake Moody, our ex field goal kicker, is going to kick the winning field goal with 2 seconds left for the Niners. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. So there you have it. That's our predictions. Okay. And I just want to say thanks for playing along with that. Now, to get into more of a serious topic, you were United States Army Reserves for many years. You know, some people say 3-6 years. What'd you do?
Yeah, so I was an engineer. 12 whiskey was my MOS and then 12 hotel. So yeah, spent 6 years in the reserves. My unit was 486 engineer company out of Toledo, Ohio. So, you know, just did the reserve thing for the majority of my career and then one deployment to Afghanistan in 2019 and 2020.
Now, for my listener out there that thinks maybe you drive a train as an engineer,
exactly as an engineer, right? You got like in college, there's mechanical, there's electrical, there's explosives. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're engineering focused on?
Yeah, so engineers wear many hats in the military, especially in the Army. We were, S-12 Whiskeys, we focused on construction more than anything. So overseas, we're, you know, building B-huts, building up security, building joint operation centers. I mean, really, whatever the military needed us to build, we would build. So very similar to Navy Seabees is what a lot mm-hmm. of people are familiar with. That's the same thing in the Army.
Or even like a community planner for a sure. local city,
sure.
right? Like you could probably cross that job into something in a city civilian world as an engineer, yeah?
Sure, absolutely, yep.
We know that you're an author. Is that your full goal now that you've gotten out of the military, is moving forward with books? Or is there something that you've transitioned to outside of that as a reservist, obviously?
Yeah, so I got out of the Army. I'm no longer in the reserves. I got out last October. I guess I'm still technically in the IRR, but I think it would take a pretty big act of war to get reactivated at this point. But, you know, with the political climate right now, who knows? But I do have a civilian career, so I'm in sales for a great construction company that makes everything in the United States. So that's something we're really proud of. And then, yeah, I get to do some writing on the side. So it's definitely a passion of mine. I think I'm going to continue to do it after this book is done as well.
So you're still in construction?
I am. Yep, exactly.
So you went from, were you construction before the Army, before you went reserves?
I was. So initially when I joined the military, I actually wanted to do military intelligence. So like 35 Mike was the MOS I wanted. Since I'm a dual citizen, I have a citizenship in Sweden. I couldn't qualify for the top secret clearance. So they are pretty much like, either you can renounce your citizenship in Sweden or you can pick a different job. So that made it pretty easy for me. I was like, well, I'm not going to give up my citizenship. You know, that's my plan B if things go sour here in the United States. So
I love that you're a dual citizen. Thank you for serving. You know, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks. No, it was actually cool being over in Afghanistan because we, at one base, we got to serve with the Swedes as well. So that was pretty cool.
They're like, wait, you're Swede too? You're like, yeah, I'm a Swede.
Yeah, just wearing the American flag though on my shoulder. So, but yeah, so after I couldn't get that job, I decided go in and become an engineer because that's what I had experience on the civilian side. So it made sense.
Yeah, was your recruiter pretty honest with you when you went through, your career counselor, if you will, quote unquote?
Yeah. Yeah, for the most part, I don't think there was any big issues. Yeah, he was fine. I know I've heard horror stories.
Sure,
fortunately
sure.
for me, I didn't have any of those.
So would you encourage somebody who might be listening right now, who's in the construction trade, who might want to wear the uniform and serve as a reservist or, you know, take that step? Would you encourage that?
Yeah, I mean, I would encourage everybody to join the military. I think everybody should serve, honestly. It was six of the best years of my life. I mean, especially my year on deployment in Afghanistan. You know, learning how other people live, building that bond with the members of my platoon. It was one of the best years of my life. So absolutely.
Be all that you can be, get a better life in the Army Reserves.
Yeah, the reserves, you know, you get a little bit of both. You kind of get the best of both worlds. You get to go play Army on the weekends, but then you get to go home. So you don't have to deal with as much of the bullshit as active duty does.
Oh, 100%. I had an active duty drill sergeant who got bronchitis on the first week because, you know, germs. And then a reservist came in to replace him. And he's like, all right, everybody, 1, 2, 3. It's like, hey, man, all right, this guy is not so bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for encouraging my listener out there to possibly take that next step. Now, I'm going to read a little bit about your book here that I was sent over from Daniel. So it's going to give me a second to read. And let me just go ahead and introduce you and your book. Amidst some of the America's darkest hours in Afghanistan, life and death at Abbey Gate displays humanity at its finest, quoted Major Tom Schuman, United States Marine Corps, who's also author of best-selling book, Always Faithful, right? So I'm going to read what this says here is, as the American government began the disastrous mass evacuations of its Afghan allies, a group of American veterans saw the writing on the wall. The people who had supported them on the ground over the past two decades were going to be left behind. Instead of watching on the sideline, they sprang into action. The effort became known nationally as hashtag digital Dunkirk in reference to the civilian aspect of the evacuation of soldiers from the beaches of Dunkirk in 1940. As America's last days in Afghanistan came to a chaotic end and an ad hoc group of veterans, intelligence assets and legislative orders undertook an extraordinary mission to honor the U.S. battlefield creed to leave no comrade behind. Relying on cell phones and satellites as their weapons, they worked feverishly around the clock to help evacuate as many Afghans who had supported U.S. troops over the past 20 years as possible. as the desperate mass of Afghans tried to flee brutal Taliban rule, Marines of the 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines, worked at Hamid Karzai International Airport's Abbey Gate in conditions that brought combat-hardened veterans to tears. After an ISIS suicide bomber detonated his S vest, killing 13 U.S. service members, operations came to a halt. This is told through the eyes of Michael, his Afghan friend Abdul, and the 2-1 Marines on the ground, including a Marine squad leader who personally led the Afghans through the airport. Life and Death at Abbey Gate tells the story behind the story of the mass evacuation of over 124,000 Americans and Afghan allies during a 2-week period in the summer of 2021. I get kind of choked up on it, Michael, and it's because I've lived through it and watched all of that, you know, happen, and the collapse of the Afghan, you know, what we were hoping would happen, where the Afghan army would rise up and help defend itself and take on the task of doing that, just fall within itself. There was no end game to the out of getting out. It was kind of left in shambles for the presidency that was coming in to take power signed by former Trump, the President Trump, in December of 22 or December 22nd, prior to Biden becoming president. So here we are, left with this quagmire of pulling out, Taliban being invited to Camp David White House through Trump. You know, all this stuff's happening. And then all of a sudden, Biden's coming in and everyone's got this Rubik's Cube of disastrous shit happening. And here you are, Michael, trying just to get in and get people who, you know, need to get out because of the Taliban rule, right? They beat feet. They torture. They don't want women to have any rights. They don't want them to show their hair. They don't want them to have jobs, be educated or smarter than they are because they are. It's really just a really weird quagmire, bro. And you're involved and your book dives into that, right?
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and I mean, it was, so fast forward a little bit, I guess, but Abdul and Mohammed are the two main characters in my book. They were contractors that we worked with up in Mazar Sharif in northern Afghanistan. But, you know, more than being coworkers, we were friends, right? So when Afghanistan started to fall, you know, the focus from me and people that served with Abdul and Mohammed was just straight, you know, we need to figure out how to get these guys out. That's really what the majority of the book is about. And, you know, obviously anybody watching the Afghanistan withdrawal just knows what an absolute nightmare and shit show it was. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, the ANA, the Afghan National Army, fell very quickly, right?
Yes.
And, you know, there's all sorts of assessments from our intelligence agencies on how long the ANA was going to be able to hold out. Some said 6 months, 12 months. Some said that they were going to be able to hold Kabul forever and the Taliban would never take it over. Obviously, what they took it over in just a matter of days. So it was just a huge intelligence failure, obviously, on our part. And I know a lot of people blame the ANA for not really standing up and fighting. But at the same time, you have to put yourself in their shoes and think about what are they fighting for at that point? You know, we have abandoned them. Their own president has abandoned them. They have no leadership. A lot of them probably haven't been paid in months. And the Taliban's at their front door, you know, ready to slaughter their wives and children. It's like, what would you do in that situation? Yeah. So, you know, to me, I really don't blame the ANA at all. They're just trying to survive and provide for their family, just like any American family would.
They kind of just had to dissolve and blend back into society and be like, that's not me.
Exactly.
That wasn't me. Because these guys are coming down with this hard rule of AK-47 law.
Right.
It's just like, oh, right there at your doorstep, they'll just shoot you. They don't care. There's just like,
I mean, it's still continuing to this day, which is, you know, what I'm most frustrated about is just how we're over 2 years removed from that situation and we're still not doing shit, right? I mean, we're still slowly evacuating people out of there, our SIV applicants, but it's just an absolute disaster. So, you know, I get reports every single day of our Afghan allies still getting slaughtered. Today.
Right. You know, and, you know, I didn't realize that one of the air bases was Russian that we had occupied, which is now being taken back by the Taliban. It's like this whole
program. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that was I thought, oh, hey, you know, it was like an Afghan base, but it was really a Russian base that we went in and took over. And
it was. Yep. Yep. Bagram Airfield. And, you know, we could go on forever about the failures of this. But while we're talking about Bagram, I'll say this, you know, Bagram was a very secure base, right? That was the center of U.S. movement in Afghanistan. And when I was there in 2019 and 2020, you know, actually on my way out, you know, we were some of the last troops in Afghanistan and the place was a ghost town. I mean, there was probably a few thousand troops in Bagram and it was still extremely secure. Right. And I mean, like some of the guys that I deployed with that had deployed previously in previous years, you know, they had been there when Bagram had 100,000 people. So for it to still be such a secure base with a few thousand troops and then for us to run the evacuation out of Hkaya, which is a civilian airport that didn't have any security and only one working runway where Bagram had multiple, was just a disaster. You know, we should have held on to Bagram. Instead, we handed it over to the ANA in a botched handoff. We didn't even really tell them we were leaving. We shut off the lights and took off one night. And ultimately, that led to the Taliban taking over Bagram. But that's, you know, that's where the evacuation should have taken place because we could have easily defended it for as long as we wanted to. And we could have got all our allies out, you know, but instead we ran it out of Hkaya. And obviously, 13 of our troops got killed and hundreds of Afghans got killed because of that decision, possibly. So, lots, just failure all around.
Well, we watched the aircraft as the C-17 Globemaster took off and closed up its wheels and what the C-5s and whatever were taken off with all of the who was inside. Just they couldn't take who was on the outside. And
yeah,
they didn't know that that was going to close up and seal. They thought they'd probably go up in the, I don't know, the landing gear or whatever. Still would have been a bad situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a disastrous media moment for the world to see that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, I mean, that just shows the desperation of those people. Imagine being so desperate that you're willing to hold on to the wheel well of an airplane taking off. And I mean, they're not dumb. You know, like you said, maybe they didn't realize the wheel was going to collapse on itself, but they knew that there was a 99% chance of death holding onto the wheel well of that plane. And they still chose
to hold on.
Yep, they still thought that was a better choice than staying and living in a country under Taliban rule.
God, maybe they thought that the plane just wouldn't take off. You know, like, oh, we'll just hold on. They won't roll with us. Those pilots are like, we have a mission, bro. Sorry.
Right. That's so crazy.
And that's got to be heavy on their hearts. You know what I'm saying? Those pilots and the crew of that aircraft. Let's not, you know, war.
For sure. They're, absolutely.
You know.
Moral injury is a term that's going around a lot right now from the Afghanistan withdrawal. And, you know, for my book, I interviewed a ton of Marines that were at Abbey Gate from 2-1 and 1-8. And man, these guys carry around a heavy burden. And just the things they saw were things that no human should ever have to see, of just how disastrous it was, the conditions at Abbey Gate. I mean, death everywhere, mothers.
The baby being handed to the Marine that we saw, that like 3 week old child, the mom was just like, or whoever was throwing the baby up to the Marine. He's like,
Not only that, I mean, there was mothers that were literally throwing their babies over the 12-foot T-walls, mm-hmm. just hoping that there was Americans on the other side. And unfortunately, you know, there was Constantine wire on top of these T-walls, and some of the babies were getting stuck in the Constantine wire and just bleeding out there before anybody could get to them. I mean, it was as crazy as you could possibly imagine. There was, you know, children getting crushed to death at Abbey Gate in the shit-filled canal, and mm-hmm. the Marines were doing everything they could to get to them. But there was just, you know, if you've seen pictures, you just know how mm-hmm. many people were there. It's just a mass of humanity, and these Marines just couldn't get there to save these kids. So there was a ton of stories like that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have a friend who was over there, and he got out 400 people. He was, wow. He's SAS, former SAS. They captured him. They didn't know he was SAS when they captured him. They just thought, he's like, I have permits and I have all the things you guys require of me to do the things and move through your country, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. And so they still just captured him and just beat his feet for weeks.
Jeez.
And, and then they finally let him go.
Wow.
Now he tells his story, and it's just like, you know, how he got 400 people out. And I mean, it's a vibe here in Utah. So I own a simple, fun airsoft war game environment where we go and I sell the equipment and the gear, that is like plate carriers, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And here I have some dude coming in with a beard like yours saying, "Hey, Rad." I'm like, "What's up?" He's like, "I just need 6 of those plate carriers, please." I was like, "What team of airsoft are you on?" Right? Yeah. It's a whole different airsoft team. And he's like, "Yeah, you know," and this guy was going to Ukraine to go over there. Yeah. Then the Afghan thing was happening, and that was all intertwining with it. And they were picking up the gear for that as well. Wow. And so here I am just trying to outfit my sport of airsoft war games. But I got dudes coming in saying they need this pouch, all my M4 pouches, all these pouches, radio pouches, you know. At a good price, by the way. I'm really a really good, fair-priced warlord. Let me tell you right now, okay? Come in and visit my shops. You know, I'm not trying to plug it. I'm just saying the realization of someone like, you know, they're going in outside of the regular, you know, ways. They're just coming into different shops. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad being on a Green Beret team, and he went to Radio Shack to buy his radios.
Wow.
Back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just had their own. Yeah.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of guys going in, serving as civilians. You know, Scott Mann, who wrote the book Pineapple Express, awesome dude, saved a lot of lives. Guys like Tim Kennedy, Chad Robichaud, Nick Pomisciano, mm-hmm. they were called Save Our Allies. They flew in there as civilians, got a ton of people out. Nick Pomisciano actually was the one that helped me get Abdul Muhammad manifested on a flight out. So just, you know, phenomenal work from those guys, and just dropping everything to go over and spend their own money. One of the guys, you know, sold his house or something, refinance his house just so he could fund this project to get people out. So we saw, you know, a lot of selfless acts of bravery, obviously, people yes. putting their lives on the line to go over and do the right thing and try to help our allies out.
That's exactly what I saw coming through the shop doors. It's just like,
yep,
you know, all right, cool. Totally different ball game when it's not airsoft like that. You know, yeah, there's a vibe about yep. the spirit of that person. And I'm just like, okay, well, what can I help you with?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I hope you call your hits. Jeez, dude.
Yeah.
Holy cow, man. That's some real deal over there. And you know, so I have a lot of guys that go and do the real deal, but then they play airsoft just to, like, you know, get it out of their system. And, you know, maybe they're done with the real deal and they just want to, like, kind of, I don't know, where do you get an opportunity to frag a grenade into a trench unless you're playing like paintball or war games, you know? So it's like, if it's still itching in you, you can go look up your local airsoft community and just probably just play. They'd love to have you.
Yeah, never done that, but it sounds like something I need to check out.
Some of my Marines, you know, they take the M4 rifle and they see it and it looks and feels just like their real one, and they go to pull the charging handle out and it's still a toy. Mm. They're like, wham! You're like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to really pull it all the way out, you know, because they're mostly electric driven. So there's no cycling of that bolt, but for the aesthetics, you know, holy cow. So, I mean, when you're going over... In your book, you go over there, right? You go over to rescue.
Nope. So I spent the whole evacuation here in Michigan, mm-hmm. actually. So that's really what the whole Digital Dunkirk Network was about, is, you know, a bunch of veterans, most of which had probably served in Afghanistan or had some ties to Afghanistan, but some didn't at all and just wanted to do the right thing. You know, we saw our government drop the ball, and we made promises to these partners. You know, these Afghans fought with us, bled with us, served shoulder to shoulder with us for 20 years, and they are promised protection through the Special Immigrant Visa Program, commonly referred to as the SIV program. And our government just completely dropped the ball and was, you know, the writing was on the wall. We could see that these people were going to get left behind. You know, back to the whole HKIA location, when I found out the evacuation was being run out of HKIA, you know, I was doing the mental math of, you know, how many runways do they have? Just one. How much time do we actually have? And how many SIV applicants are there? And the math just clearly wasn't adding up. Like, these people were not all going to get out. So that's when this network called Digital Dunkirk really formed up. And it really wasn't an organized thing at the beginning. It was just a whole bunch of different chat rooms on Instagram, on Signal, on WhatsApp, of all these people coming together and essentially creating like a joint operations center online. So individually, like, we had very little information, right? Like, I came to this group with just two names, Abdul and Muhammad. But collectively, we realized we had a ton of information, like who was working what gates, who had phone numbers to, you know, Marines standing at what gate, and what documentation the State Department was requiring at that moment. And so together, we had just all the information you could possibly need. So this whole movement, that whoever came up with the name Digital Dunkirk is a genius because it fits perfectly. But this whole movement happened from our computers while we're sitting here at home. So a lot of people are working their day jobs here. And then at night, obviously, when it's daytime in Afghanistan, everyone's just hitting the phones and the computers, just trying to find ways to get their guys out. So
it's a lot more convenient today to just communicate. Sure. You know, there's a lot more avenues, and you're not getting a newspaper article from a combat attack in Vietnam 2 weeks later.
Yep. Yep.
And then you kind of put that aside, you know, it's like, 'cause 2 weeks have passed and now it's like, you're seeing it happen. Mm-hmm. Like, this is kind of real time, kind of Call of Duty satellite stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was very impressive what this group was able to do from the U.S. just on our phones and computers. And so, you know, I was so proud to see those veterans, and not only veterans, but civilians that joined in too, just step up and grab the ball when our government fumbled, you know, and continue downfield. And the amount of lives that this group was able to save was just staggering.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
So, you know, I still, you know, just want to think, why did we sell so much equipment to the Taliban or to the, you know, A&A right before he signed, President Trump, I'm calling him out right now for this, sure. Right? sold billions of dollars of equipment and then went and signed the pullout accord to get out for Biden. Why do you think, what do you think about that? You know, him spending, selling all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then pulling out of it automatically, which is out there. It's just what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, in my book, I try not to get too political. I blame both presidents, but sure. I think they both had made decisions that were just didn't
make
Biden
was
sense.
During Obama too. So I'm not trying to get him sure. anything, you know, but again, these are what I'm asking specifically.
It's like, yeah. So I'm guessing that they, you know, back to the intelligence assessments, I'm guessing they thought they were going to be able to hold out a lot longer than they were able to. I think that's probably what the administration was thinking. But again, it's just, it didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And had we run a proper evacuation and run it out of a secure location, we could have stayed until we got all that equipment out. Mm-hmm. But instead, we put an end date on it and we left a bunch of our allies behind and we left millions, billions of dollars of equipment. You know, now the Taliban has biometrics, some of which contains the information of our allies that are still stuck there. They have night vision goggles. They have everything that we have. They have Blackhawks. So
I saw the video of, like, I think on a TikTok where, like, they're looking, I don't know if it was actual or if I'm seeing propaganda, but it showed like them pivoting the nose, trying to fly it, and it like rolled and they're like, this is what we just left behind, you know, the Blackhawks and such.
And, but, you know, I know those require a ton of maintenance. So who knows how long they're actually going to be able to hold out. But I do know that also potentially Russia and China are offering assistance for maintenance for those types of things. So
see, I was thinking that maybe the Taliban was going to fight China. And so we need them as an ally. And so the whole plan was to leave the equipment there to outfit the Taliban so that they can now defend against Russia and China as an ally of the US. Because, I mean, let's face it, they're very war hardened.
They are. I will say that China is doing their best to maintain relationships with the Taliban because the Taliban has a whole bunch of resources that China wants.
Of course.
And they've already entered agreements for some mining operations. I want to say it's lithium. Don't quote me on that. But I know that China is currently in Afghanistan.
Poppy fields. Excuse me. Did I say that out loud?
Yep. There's many things that they want. So right now they seem to be allies.
My next question stirring in my head. I'm trying to figure that one out right there. So I'm just like, all right. And again, I just want to hear your opinion on it. You know, you wrote such an in-depth book, Life and Death at Abbey Gate, right? And where can we find that? Is that out on everything? Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, is it?
Yeah. Anywhere you buy your books, you'll be able to find it. You can also find it, obviously, Amazon. And you can find it on my website, which is michaelcook.com. Spell my name a little different, as we talked about before. It's M-I-K-A-E-L. cook.com is an easy place to find it as well.
And that's right, because you're a dual citizen. So you're Swede.
I am. Yeah. My mother was born in Sweden. I was born in the United States. Because of that, I get to have dual citizenship and be able to travel under a Swedish passport.
Oh, that's dope. Is it blue?
I think it's red.
Red?
Which doesn't make any sense. Cool.
Almost diplomatic, huh? Like, hey, red passport, you know what I mean? It's like one of those special ambassador coming through, bro. That's cool. Sweden, huh? I'd love to go over there. Do you visit?
Yeah, I have a ton of family there. My grandparents and uncles and cousins are also there. So I try to get over there once every couple of years. Gorgeous country, you know, beautiful people.
Is there fjords in Sweden?
Not like there is in Norway. Uh-huh. Yeah, if you want to see fjords, go to I think Western Norway is the best place for sure. But Sweden's definitely beautiful.
Yeah, I'm definitely have that in my bloodline on my 23andMe DNA.
Nice.
Yeah. Mom's the Viking on the family side. Oh, Dad's related to all the royalty, so I get...
You look like a Viking.
Yeah, right? I'm just way domesticated, though, so I'm a domesticated Viking, bro. That fire is gas. I didn't have to, like, spark nothing to get it going, okay? I'm so domesticated, it's like, oh, man.
That's good.
You know. Yeah, I might shave the side of my head, put a nice skull tattoo, let the hair grow out. I don't know.
Nice. You know, one other thing, though, as I'm sitting here thinking about talking about China and Russia, though, is, you know, the other thing that's been happening is Russians have been recruiting former ANA soldiers to come fight in Ukraine for them, which, again, is easy to make judgment on, I think. But when you think about it, these ANA who are hiding in Afghanistan from the Taliban. You know, it's not a bad solution because a lot of them are on the run in Afghanistan. They're literally in hiding, hoping they don't get slaughtered. So Russia's offering them a chance to, hey, come here, come fight for us. We'll pay you. We'll keep your family safe. It's not, again, as if you're a father, that doesn't sound like a horrible solution. So just another crazy thing that's happening right now.
You know, also what's going on in Afghanistan from sources that I've talked with is that there's just villages that are just disconnected from every modern function that you could think of. And they have just been living in this primitive style life happily as tribes.
Yeah.
Right. Living over there. And they don't even know what the what Afghanistan is.
Sure. Yeah.
What's this word, Afghanistan? They're like, you mean my land?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of examples of Afghans in rural areas thinking that U.S. troops were still Russians, you know,
and
that invasion was still happening. So, yeah, I mean, there's some people out there that they don't have any like track of time. They don't really know. They don't know how old they are. I mean, they live a very simple life, which is crazy for us.
Harvesting, work in the mountains. Yeah. And so wild. Here we have like, you know, cabal falling, but they don't really even maybe know cabal exists.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
They get intruders in their perimeters,
these
villages. And like, who are these? What is this? What is this alien ship landing in my backyard?
Yeah. And a lot of them just want to be left alone, kind of like you mentioned. I mean, they don't necessarily like the Taliban. They don't like the U.S., they just want to be left alone. And they're going to obviously side with whoever is going to make their life the easiest. So if the Taliban comes into town and they start, you know, if they start saying, hey, we're going to kill your family unless you tell us where the Americans are, they're going to tell them where the Americans are. And then when the Americans come into town, they're going to do the same thing for them. They're just trying to survive.
Right.
So I don't think a lot of them really care who's in power. They just want to be left alone.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Because like even the power can't even really reach them unless they go looking for these people, these tribes and these villages. So it's like, you know, Afghan's such a beautiful country and they do have beautiful people and beautiful eyes. And, you know, I've seen time life photos of, you know, these photos of these women over there that are just like war stricken. Their eyes show million mile stare. But, you know,
I mean, think about somebody who's my age. I'm almost 35. That grew up in Afghanistan has pretty much been at war their entire lives. I mean, it's all they know.
Right.
They just know war.
Even me, I'm 46, so 77, right?
Sure.
I mean, the Russians came in 79, right? It's like in the 80s.
Yep. So, I mean, there's just always been conflict there. Probably always will be conflict there.
Even Rambo did a Rambo 3 where he was in Afghanistan. And, you know, at the very end of it, he says special thank you to the beautiful people of Afghanistan because he filmed that whole thing in Afghanistan. It was him kicking Russia's ass. Rambo 3,
I didn't know that. I gotta go watch
that. He plays the actual goat game where they grab the goat on the horses and they're racing each other and they throw it in the circle. So if you go watch Rambo 3, Sylvester Stallone, dude, I think you'll like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's on my list now.
Yeah, dude, because not only is he ripped, right? It's Rambo, dude. Oh man. Oh, I love that. I love it. I've seen them all. Of course I have. I'm an 80s child. Dude,
yeah.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Is there anything you're going to be doing furthermore? You're going to be writing more about your, you know, life and death of Abbey Gate and all of this? What's going on? You got another book?
We'll see.
Focused on this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly still focused on Afghanistan. I have a podcast called the Afghanistan Project Podcast that I do with a amazing co-host named Beth Bailey, who's a reporter for Fox News and Washington Examiner. And, you know, it kind of started as a place to educate people still stuck in Afghanistan as to what their pathways might be as far as what visas they might qualify for, because, dude, it's so complicated. I remember the first time I started going into down the SIV rabbit hole, just trying to figure out what documents might be required for Abdul Muhammad. As an American English speaker, it's a disaster. It's so hard to figure out what to do. As an Afghan that maybe speaks a little English, almost certainly doesn't read or write English. Some of them can't even read and write in their own language. I mean, it's literally impossible. So we really wanted to do something to try to help those people understand what pathways they qualify for. So that's kind of how it started. It's evolved into a little bit more than that now. We talk to a lot of people that have served in Afghanistan, people that served at Abbey Gate, talk a lot about moral injury as to what these troops went through during the evacuation. But yeah, we're still doing that. And I think that's something that we'll continue to do. So again, the Afghanistan Project podcast, and then we'll see. I'm focused on this book right now. It's just coming out right now. So I think I'll, you know, focus on this a little longer, maybe take a break, and then we'll see if I might write something again soon. We'll see.
Do you think any Afghans are trying to come in through the southern border as immigrants right now?
Yes, they are.
And do you think that they should be able to?
I think that.
Just yes or no?
Yes. I think the people that qualify for an SIV should be allowed to enter the country. I'm not saying that they should be able to enter
illegally.
What if
they don't have their SIV? Yeah. What if they don't have their SIV? What if it's your friend, your buddy that translated for you, and he needs to get into the U.S.? Are we going to allow him to immigrate into the U.S. just like that?
That's a tough one.
No, I want to answer. Come on, you got friends at Fox. Let's go. I want to hear that from you.
I would say, yes, people that serve the United States deserve to be here. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, in any facet. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So even the wife of that person deserves to
absolutely.
Be here.
Absolutely. Right?
And the children of that person.
You don't want to be separating families. That doesn't make any sense. You don't want to bring the men here and have the women and children stuck in Afghanistan. So yes, I think anybody that served the United States of America in a war zone should have safe passage to the United States 100%.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And especially if they're coming out of Afghanistan, because look what we're going over there and doing, right? Mm-hmm. Going over there and snagging dudes and bringing them back into the U.S. just to be here, right? Sure. And just saying, hey, just stay low, lay low, you know, like, don't worry about the wall. We'll just get you on an airplane and fly you over it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's what, let's talk about that, right? Because everybody's so obsessed with the southern border and like people coming into the country. But here we are trying to get people into the country any way from Afghanistan. Is that any different?
Sure. Yeah, makes sense. I mean, yeah, like I said, anybody that we made a promise to these people and then we bailed on them. And during the Doha talks, we were negotiating directly with the Taliban. We didn't even allow the Afghan government in on the discussion, which
is
complete bullshit.
Who was talking at the Doha talks? Do you recall who that was at the Doha talks? What?
Like, who did we physically send there? I mean, the State Department.
Who was what administration are you referencing? Yes.
State Department for the most part.
Which under what administration though of the Doha talks?
What do you mean?
What administration are you referencing for the Doha talks? When we had the Doha talks and it all fell apart, what was the administration where it all fell apart? Was that the Biden or was that the Trump administration?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, it didn't necessarily fall apart because we made an agreement with the Taliban. So the Doha agreement
Who made the agreement,
signed. That was Trump. Yeah.
That was,
that was
right?
under Trump.
Okay.
So he made the Doha agreement, excluded the Afghan government from those talks, which was complete bullshit.
Right.
So we're negotiating straight with the Taliban for people that we're not including on the talks, and we're going to leave them there.
It reminds me of Iraq when we sent over an ambassador who didn't know any Arabic whatsoever, and he dismantled the army and the Ba'ath Party when they were supposed to use the army to defend Iraq. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're all fired. And I don't even speak your language.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, man, that's why I'm wondering, like, you know, like we see, you know, I want to see a president that speaks another language.
Sure. Yeah.
I'd like to see that. You know, just like, hey, man, Spanish is cool. You know, Canadian, hey, speak something other than BS.
Yeah.
You know, to us, because we sit here and watch this. You have, you know, I have friends that have gone over and been beaten to get people out. You've had friends that have gone over and sacrificed their lives to get their friends out that help them. You know, you mentioned people like Tim Kennedy. He's special forces, right? Mm-hmm. Green Beret. You know, he probably had translators and friends who were helping him in Afghanistan while he was doing all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, how could you not want that friend of yours? I have a friend, I'm not going to say who it is, Northern Alliance commander, right? And I'm just not one of. And I'm just going to say, I know he's here and he's happy. And, you know, he did his time with working with the U.S. in the time, and now he's back in the U.S. So mm-hmm. I'm happy for him and his family and his large family.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about, but
here in Utah. Yeah. If you, well, yeah, I still want to give him out, you know, but
sure.
He's a great dude. Wish him happy birthday. I'm friends with him. And
nice.
Yeah. You know, and no one would ever recognize him because he just sits around maybe kind of being the janitor someplace.
There you go.
And you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, Commander.
Yeah. Speaking of the Northern Alliance, and you know what's now the Northern Alliance is kind of the NRF, the National Resistance Front. So the Northern Alliance was led by a Commander Massoud, who was murdered by Al-Qaeda on September 10th, I believe, 2001. So one day before 9/11, because the Al-Qaeda knew that he was going to be the, you know, United States ally here in Afghanistan. So now that the Taliban has taken over, his son, the new Commander Massoud, is now in charge of the National Resistance Front, so which is kind of like Northern Alliance 2.0. And they're fighting the Taliban currently. So they're the only group that I know of that's currently actually engaged in combat against the Taliban, trying to take Afghanistan back for the people. So I had the privilege to be able to fly over to Vienna, actually, and meet him and spend 3 days with the NRF for an article I was writing. And, you know, I got to spend some time with him, and he was very educated. He had a very professional vibe about him. I left there believing that he wants the best for the people of Afghanistan, and he wants to take back the country and give the power back to the people. So it was a very unique and cool experience to be able to, you know, go meet him and spend some time with them. So I, you know, as far as I know, the U.S. government isn't backing him. I think they should at least have some open dialogue with them. But so far, I don't think there is any, but I hope that they're, you know, able to accomplish their goals and defeat the Taliban.
There's probably some red cell team out there.
Probably. I mean, I'm sure they're communicating with the CIA or something, but who knows?
Somebody's drinking NyQuil and going to sleep at night with out a stuffy, sneezy head.
Yeah.
So I think a rest medicine. Someone's waking up in the morning. I'm going to tell you that, dude. Holy cow. Wow. So you're not going to miss being in the Army, you don't think? You're good with your six?
I'm good, I think. I mean, going through this whole evacuation process, I think, made me realize that I'm probably more valuable as just a normal citizen, as a civilian, than I could be as a Army soldier, because, you know, the military here was really handcuffed when it came to the evacuation. I mean, I had generals calling me asking for help getting people out from both the Air Force, from the Army, you know, so for them to be calling a E6 reservist for help, you know, really put it in perspective for me that I think there's a lot more I can do as a civilian than I can serving in uniform. So, you know, I had my fun. I did my deployment, loved every second of it, but I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, it's just something that makes you who you were or who you are today. It's just a path, stepping platform. And we talked about you being construction, doing construction in the military, but with an M4. And then, you know, Yeah. I mean, so were you guys setting up like all the tents at the bases and everything like that and putting up all of those poles with the extenders that kept the, you know, were you the ones that just kept the snow from coming off the tents? Because, you know, we have a war game field out here and it was all set up by these guys and it was beautiful, but the snow hit and they just left it and they didn't maintain their fob out there. And it just, the snow finally caved in, the poles bent, but.
So you need some help.
Brother, it takes a whole dedicated team of people just to knock snow off the tents, let alone.
That was, you know, one of the worst things, I think, for a soldier going out to the field is setting up those damn tents. Those things suck. Just such a pain in the ass.
My friend's like, you don't want to buy these ones. They suck. Get the other model. It's like another NSN number. He's like, there's two types. He's like, we bought both types. And that one's over there, like, with all of its poles and like some spider formation and just like left alone. And then the other one's all set up like glory. And I was like, okay, I forgot what style that was, but he's like, make sure you get that.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Dude.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. The things we do, we go hard out here for war games. You know, we have that type of environment, you know, all that, you know,
that's Tesco's. Cool, man. I would love to come check that out.
We just had a 100-man operation yesterday at this place called Milsim City out here. And it's a 4-acre house to house. There's like bus broken down out in the desert. It's all, you know, in this environment and you just boom, 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 you know, just the whole time. And what you do is you go get these like green Home Depot sprinkler flags.
Okay.
Team A has to put them in every building. Team B has to stop them from putting them in every building.
Okay.
Yeah. And so once it's done, then you can know that building is now like, you know, occupied by the other guys. You can no longer go in there. It's considered off limits. It's just legit, dude. And it's guys like you, guys like me, young kids, women, children, they all play. It's just a good time out in the desert of war games and high fives and getting it out of your system. Some people can never join. They have asthma or, you know, they were born premature and they have a bad eyeball. But bro, dude's Captain America.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone wants to have that experience.
Bro, he's like Team Windy Helmet. You know, everything all legit. It's like, you know, you won't let me serve? Fine. Airsoft. Let's go.
Yeah. It's their chance to be on an ODA team out there.
and working with guys from ODAs.
Yeah, sure.
Who are just like, what do they do after they get out? You know, they're like, okay, well, let's go play some airsoft. What is this? Oh, this is fun. And the next thing you know, they got the gloves all clipped on their belt and they're walking around.
Hell yeah.
I'll try to dress up like you. You know what I'm saying, Staff Sergeant?
Let's go. Yeah, I need to check that out.
Yeah, yeah, you should. And if my listener's interested in airsoft because they want to go, you know, find something where there's some camaraderie, you can check out Utah Airsoft on Facebook. That's one of our pages. And we have a lot of, you know, positive information for the sport on there. And if you have any questions about it, you can find out where to play local areas on the internet. Just Google airsoft. But yeah, I mean, you're in Michigan, right? Yeah, there's a huge scene there for war games. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
My dad grew up there.
Yeah, my dad grew up on Lake Michigan, but in Wisconsin.
Okay.
In a place right there on the border there. So
yeah, we used to go fishing. It's a beautiful state here, man. We got a lot of lakes. If you can put up with the winter, it's a nice place to live.
You guys got mountains?
No.
No.
No, we got lakes.
What's the snow sport out there?
Everyone plays hockey. I grew up playing hockey here. Played my whole life, still play. So yeah, when the lakes freeze, everyone goes plays hockey or play, you know, go ice fishing. It's about the only two things you can do in the winter here.
That's the sport out there. Here in Utah, you know, you've got snowboarding, skiing, snow biking, bro, snow bike.
Sweet.
Yeah, we've seen those.
No, yeah. Yeah, I've seen it. I've never done it. It looks fun.
Oh, they're going hard now. They're like, there's backflips and they're just like doing all these different, you know, it's just going to happen. We'll just probably see in the Olympics in 10 years or something.
Yeah, for sure.
When Utah gets it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what would you like to leave my listener with? What's your thoughts? And I'll give you a few minutes to, you know, to sound off on something. Let's hear it.
Yeah, man. I mean, so many things, I guess. I think the number one thing would be that, you know, the Afghanistan evacuation is 2 years past us, but it's not over. We still have the last estimate, I think, that came out from No One Left Behind, which is a NGO working to help Afghans get out of the country, was that we still had about 200,000 SIV applicants. So special immigrant visa applicants, that these are people that supported the United States during the 20-year war and were promised protection. Still 200,000 of them are left behind. There's only a small amount of visas left, so not all of them are going to get here. Not even a fraction of them are going to be able to get over here. So it's not over. The evacuation is still ongoing. There are bills going through Congress. One is the Afghan Adjustment Act, which is currently stalled still, I believe. But, you know, if you want to support, call up your local leadership, tell them you want to support the Afghan Adjustment Act and help give safe passage to these people that bled with America for so many years and stood shoulder to shoulder with us on our deployments. So that's what I would encourage you to do. Also, yeah, you can check if you're interested in my book. It's called Life and Death at Abbey Gate. Again, you can find it anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, my website, michaelcook.com, and also check out our podcast, the Afghanistan Project podcast, anywhere you find your podcasts.
I love that. No, that's wonderful. And it really does. You know, you should have safe passage. There should be safe passage for them to come here. I'm a big believer in that. You know, boy, oh boy, you know, it's America. We are a melting pot. And I just think that, you know, if you make it here, yep. Then you can, you know, they see gold roads, man. That's what people are told, you know, it's like, And a friend of mine's like, well, we're going to give them all these free things. And I'm like, that's what they think is the American dream. They're going to get here and they're going to say, I get some bread and something to eat versus political prosecution and persecution for just being outspoken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're so lucky to live in this land. Yes. Yeah.
One more thing I'll add is, you know, Abdul, one of my friends that got here, main character in the book, he has a little daughter. And I remember when he first called me when the Taliban was on the door of Kabul, he FaceTimed me and he had his little daughter, baby daughter in his lap. And I was actually sitting right where I am right now in my kitchen and I was standing with my mother and we're FaceTiming. And I remember my mom just like started crying because she realized that this little girl's future was gone. I mean, this little girl was not going to grow up and have an education or have a job. She wasn't going to leave the house without a male escort or without her face covered. I mean, all those things that you already mentioned. And at that point, like, I didn't realize there's anything I could do to help them. I didn't know what the special immigrant visa process was. I didn't know about Digital Dunkirk, didn't know about anything. And just to know that this little girl's life was over before it even started was so heartbreaking. So to have them here in Michigan, you know, they live 30 minutes from me. So I go over there for dinner. Afghan dinner is amazing. But to have them, yeah, the food's spectacular. But to be able to watch them go play soccer and go to school and they're all the... There's how many kids are there now? Six kids between the two families.
And big families.
They're finally, the older kids just picked up English, like fluently, finally. So I'm able to have conversations with English with them. It's just so special to me and means the world. But just to know that they're here safe and they're going to have a future when that future was essentially ripped away from them is means everything to me. So I'm so lucky because I know so many people that tried to get their interpreters out, tried to get their allies out, weren't able to do so. And those people are still stuck there. So I know that I'm the lucky one that we were able to be successful and get them over here. So just so thankful for everyone that assisted us in that evacuation.
Well, kudos to you and kudos to your co-author. Drop their name one more time.
Robert Conlon. Yeah, man, if you're looking to write a book and you need some assistance like I did, I don't come from a writing background, so I knew I needed a little help getting my words down on the page. Call this guy up, Robert Conlon. If you need his contact information, just hit me up. Great dude, great writer. He's also a veteran, and it was a privilege to work with him.
I just wanted to give him a shout out. You know what I mean? It's 100%, Michael. I know I got you on the show and it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coordinating yourself to be here on such a busy Sunday. And I hope my listener really gets some open-minded thought process here about, like, you know, safe passage for these folks that worked with our military and our policies from the politicians, you politicians out there that are putting these people's lives in all of these jeopardies. Right. They deserve a little bit of like a pat on the back from you. Don't just dismay them out into never, never land.
Absolutely. Okay.
So simple as that. Okay. And I just want to show my listener that you can meet somebody that you've never met before and have a decent conversation with them in this life. Okay. And so you continue to be a positive steward of who you are in this world. And on behalf of Michael Cook, former Army engineer, Staff Sergeant, Life and Death at Abbey Gate is his book. Go check it out. It'll be posted up in our description. Thanks to my producer, Anton, and to everybody that helps me here, Brandon Webb. I really thank you for the job every single time. So on behalf of Taylor, Kansas City Chiefs, 49ers, have a fun Super Bowl, and I hope I pick the score.
Let's just right on.
All right, this is Rad saying peace.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.